Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. This is David Lincoln, and I'm calling, and we're dialing in via technology from the internet from the Hilton Anatole Hotel here in Dallas, Texas, where we are broadcasting live from the five-star conference event, the default servicing event. And I have with me a special guest we're going to get to just in a minute. This is September 12th. What a memorable day. I'm sure many of you were glued to the TV watching many of the events. I flew on yesterday into the conference, and so it was a little bit, I can just only imagine what it was like 10 years ago, and having vivid memories of it, but this time sitting in an airplane, it was one of those things where you go, oh, I can only imagine what those people were going through. It's good to have you with us this week again, with us each and every week. This again is the Mortgage Radio Program, broadcast or created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're thrilled to have you be a part of our listening audience. We're going to switch up the order a little bit. We have Ed Delgado, who is the president and CEO of the conference, or of Five Star Conference Events, and we're going to have him here and talk a little bit about the conference, so stay tuned. You're going to hear Joe's segment on the rates in just a minute, as well as Alice Alvey, and we've got, of course, the Prophet Doctor. How could we do a show without the Prophet Doctor? And so we'll be talking with them in just a minute, but Ed's got a very tight schedule, so we want to get him on the radio program and give him a report of what's going on here at the conference. Ed, so good to have you here at the conference with us. We appreciate it. Now we're handing over the mic to Ed. So, Ed, if you would tell our listeners a little bit about who's here, what this conference is about, and the significance of this conference at this particular time in the industry.
Well, good morning, David, and thank you so much for having us, and thank you for coming to the conference and doing your broadcast live here. A couple of great things are happening right now. We have assembled probably close to 5,000 mortgage professionals from around the country. Where tomorrow's featured keynote is President George W. Bush, who, like many of your listeners yesterday, got very emotional watching the ceremonies commemorating the 10th anniversary of 9/11. So we're very fortunate to have the president here, followed up by an evening ceremony with Mayor Rudy Giuliani. So this is the premier event for mortgage professionals around the nation. We are completely sold out, which is amazing to take out a property of this size. So, like I said, 5,000 people coming together. But they come together at a critical time for the industry and, quite frankly, for the nation in terms of healing a wounded system. The markets remained very distressed. We're still very concerned about inventory, supply, demand, buyer-seller tension, and we really are in a bit of a stall with respect to recovery. So this entire conference is based on leadership, policy, strategy, finding solutions, bridging the relationship between realtors, servicers, government agencies, local political leaders, you name it, we have it covered, but we have a mission at hand, and that is to restore fair and responsible servicing practices across the nation.
Well, it's good to have you here. It's interesting that George W. and is here, George W. Bush, and we have Rudy Giuliani. That is an amazing lineup considering the date. Many people are going, how did you pull that one off?
There was no chill formality to it whatsoever. We had, it was interesting, we had already booked Mayor Giuliani last year when we made that announcement. We had previously and respectfully requested time with the president, and he was unavailable. And then something happened, and he said, well, I would love to do this. And then we were faced with that choice. Do we continue with the mayor? Do we take a pass on the president or go with both? And we made the executive decision, say, well, you know, why not? Let's go for broke and get them both here. But I think, you know, I'm originally from New York, right? So I saw those towers go down, and it ripped my heart out. we made extra care and attention to not exploit the anniversary of 9/11 in any of our materials. This was a leadership conference, and it's about rebuilding, much in the way that the United States had to rebuild from wounds and injuries that were sustained on 9/11. To a much lesser degree, the housing market is going through a similar injury. So to recover that measure for citizens and homeowners around the country to rebuild upon solid practices and policies, I think that's what this conference is all about. We have two very prominent leaders at a critical time in our nation's history here to talk about what is leadership and how do you overcome adversity and how do you rebuild after you've been wounded or injured.
I think it's excellent, especially with the topic of leadership. You couldn't get two people that have gone and had leadership tested, such as those two did at that particular time. Before we let you go, would you tell us a little bit about some of the sessions that are going on here and some of the topics and some of the other speakers that are here, and give our listeners that can't be here a little flavor so maybe they'll be coming here next year?
Yeah, well, that's going to take way more than 10 minutes. So, I think yesterday we saw the arrival of any realtors, mortgage brokers in the industry. We have a series of certification courses to help promote their brand and their success in their particular endeavors. So whether it's BPO training, short sale training, we have those sessions in place. Today we have Legal League 100, so the top 100 national law firms that practice in default servicing are convening on the mezzanine level. Tomorrow we'll have the Residential Mortgage Servicing Summit, that is for all mortgage servicers around the nation, so Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citi, Chase, GMAC, all those organizations, Fannie, Freddie, Treasury, FHA, VA, HUD, they'll all be represented throughout the course of the conference. We have all the MI companies are here, PMI, Radian, MGIC, and Genworth Financial are here. Our speakers range from Chief General Counsels, Tom Henneman from the U.S. Treasury Department, Lori Maggiano from Treasury. We have Jeff Hayward, who's the Executive Vice President at Fannie Mae National Servicing Organization. It really is an assembly of who's who in mortgage banking and real estate and finance. Yesterday, REO brokers and agents were here for the Force Vision Rally. The Force is an association of REO brokers, 1,000 members strong and growing every day, and that provides networking opportunities with asset managers for listings. So when we look at Five Star and we look at the culture that we've developed here, it covers the gamut, which I'm going to use as a segue to talk about our next conference, which takes place in December, also in Dallas at the Dallas Omni, and that is Impact. And Impact is designed to focus exclusively on the front end of the market. So if the Five Star Default Conference has that whole default servicing, foreclosure, bankruptcy, REO management practice, Impact works on the front end of origination, lending, mortgage brokerage strategy, data analytics, and the secondary market, which, as you know, is Fannie, Freddie, and FHA. That event will have Condoleezza Rice as our keynote, and we get criticized because they always say, well, what's with all the Republicans, Ed? Love to have some Democrats come to our conference, so give me a call, and I'll be happy to talk to you. But just the way the stars aligned, we have a series of Republican leaders speaking in our two prominent conferences. But look, overall, this is the place to see folks that you need to see and know across the industry. It's a great place to get your brand out there. If you're a broker, an agent, even if you're a servicer, mortgage bank, and you want to connect with your peers, this is the place to be next year. And definitely upcoming in December, on December 4th through 6th for Impact.
Thanks so much, Ed, for taking some time. Folks, getting him on the program here was no small challenge to get him. He's told me that he has something. He is supposed to be somewhere every 15 minutes. He has got a race to the next event. Thank you, Ed, so much for letting us be here with you so much. Appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginny Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. It's so good to have you here. It's a real treat to be here at the conference. We appreciate the folks at the Five Star, Ed and his whole team, opening up the doors. It is quite an event. But also, what is a great event is what's going on with interest rates. And we have with us again, Joe Farr. Joe, good to have you with us. What's going on in the world of interest rates?
I don't know if it's a great event because we're down. We're down. This morning we're down about 8/32. That's measuring the Fannie Mae 3.5, which most of your pipeline is going to be going into right now. Unusual in that it's down much more than the higher coupon loans. We had a time last week when the higher coupon loans were really hit hard, and it came along at the same time the discussion. Actually, it's 2 weeks ago. Same time the discussion started about the proposal, the administration's proposal to do some sort of massive refi, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. But this morning, the lower coupon's down a little bit more than the higher coupons. There's been no economic announcements today to affect things. The Treasury auction was just completed. This was a three-year Treasury auction, and the grade it was given by the CNBC people was a C+, or a little average, not a great market mover, I guess, so far today. But so today, not that much going on, Dave.
So what happened last week?
Last week was, it was relatively quiet given how volatile the market has been. I know each of our last few shows we've talked about volatility and volatility again. Not a great deal of intraday movement. Didn't have as many of the midday price changes as we've been having. And there was very little economic news that came out last week to move the market. What did move the market when it moved was concerns over what's going on in Europe. Those continue to brew, as well as two major speeches during the week. One was by Bernanke, and one was by President Obama. You probably saw a Thursday evening speech.
Absolutely.
But Bernanke was in Bernanke's speech. He was talking about the Fed and the Fed's desire to address the slow growth and whether or not his stimulus or their stimulus would be able to accomplish this. He admitted they're going to be considering what they can do at their September 21st meeting. And, most economists think there's not a lot they can do to generate a great deal of job growth, and which everyone knows is needed to get the economy growing again.
Yeah.
The other speech was by President Obama, and his was a jobs bill. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. In fact, we were going to tell our listeners we're going to be getting into more of a discussion about some of the things you mentioned about the refinancing. But go on, sorry.
Okay. In his bill, he's proposing almost half a trillion dollars more in spending, both either tax cuts or stimulus spending. He can't do it alone, obviously, so it's going to go before Congress, and he's really pushing to see that passed. You got the Fed trying to do something, you got President Obama trying to do something, you got Europe creating a great deal of uncertainty. Seems like every day something changes, and that uncertainty pushes people either into taking more risk, meaning buying stocks and selling bonds, or takes them the other way out of taking more risk, and so they're selling stocks and buying bonds, and that will continue on, I believe.
As far as what we have coming up this week,
lots of economics on the calendars this week. We got the inflation measures come out middle of the week, PPI on Wednesday and CPI on Thursday. Retail sales on Wednesday, should be a big measure. Industrial production on Thursday, and then we have the 10-year and the 30-year auctions tomorrow and Wednesday. Those in the past have been influences. They have influenced the MBS prices. And then, like I said earlier, Europe's going to continue to be an issue, and whichever direction they think that, especially Greece, is going of late, is going to, show people that it's time to either take risk or to get rid of risk, and that's going to influence stocks and MBS prices here.
We can anticipate the European markets having a lot of effect on us, and again, it's so important that they know what's going on and stay up on all of this. And you can learn all about it by getting and listening to this next ad and going off to Joe's website. Joe, thank you so much for bringing us this information, this update. We'll be with you, but we'll be back in just a minute after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lincoln.
Well, I thought we were going to run the mortgage, the MBS quote line ad. I'm sure we will here in a minute, but you can go off to mbsquoteline.com, get some information. It's a great service. But also regarding the president of Mortgage U, we got Alice Alvey with us again, as she is each and every week. It's so good to have her be with us. Alice is in New Orleans, attending a conference. I'm flying there later on this afternoon to speak with Alice at the MBA, Mortgage Bankers Association of America, operational conference. So good to have you on the program, Alice. How is the conference there, and what kind of weather am I flying into there today?
The conference is great. So it's the MBA operations conference, which is going to overlap by a day here and then segue into the regulatory compliance conference. So we have all the operational folks out here. Anybody trying to get a loan underwritten right now is probably having a challenge. But the weather's beautiful, so hopefully your flight's on time, and we'll be able to. Tomorrow our presentation is going to be on what is the right loan process. So perhaps we can talk a little bit about that later in the program if there's still some time.
Hopefully there will be, yes, by all means. Yeah. Okay, tell us, what's going on in the legislative update?
Well, we have rules we're watching right now, and our Dodd-Frank update is really just, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has one piece out there regarding the ARM loans for state housing creditors. That's really the only activity, the only thing that's open right now for us to actually do anything, and frankly, we're fine. That's just a renewal for state housing creditors to be able to continue to offer ARM financing. The QRM and QM, the big giants, elephants in the room, however you want to refer to them, are really in a bit of a holding pattern right now as we try and work through, as we're going to talk about all the other ideas. When you talk refi program and let's give everybody a 4% ARM, it sounds like they're not paying attention to risk retention. So I'm all for parts of the idea of at least don't, maybe we can stall this QRM and QM for a while. But essentially, Davis Polk published a Dodd-Frank progress report on the anniversary date, and they're still calculating that approximately 163 required rulemakings are still pending, and that, the regulators only completed 51 of some estimates as high as 400 rulemaking processes. If you think about that, in some cases, one rule has to work its way through four regulators. That's how it gets to that 400 mark. It's kind of double counting. The actual count's probably a little closer to about 243-ish actual regs. So we've got a long way to go to watch different components. For those of us on the mortgage origination side, it really is, you know, QRM, QM, which we've talked a ton about and we'll keep talking about as we get some more final rule verbiage, you know, and again, we cannot begin to predict when that might be. The other components that are out there, those are the two big ones. There are some other items related to FHA that we're watching. So FHA has a proposed rule out there that the comment period actually expires today. FHA is going to want to require appraisers to be certified appraisers rather than licensed, just simply licensed by the state. So that's essentially asking that the FHA appraisers have more education and more hours before they actually can conduct an FHA appraisal. A newer proposed rule out there that I don't think really impacts us big time. It was introduced August 26th and is asking to allow direct lending for direct farm credit system institutions. For those of you who've never really paid attention to that farm credit side, they're really like a GSE. So because they're more like the farm credit system is more like Fannie and Freddie, they didn't necessarily have a path to get approved FHA. So again, this is really more of a technical proposed rule to allow the farm credit, the direct lending institutions to apply for an FHA ticket and become approved. The numbers in the proposed rule are the impact on an annual basis of maybe 2,200 additional FHA loans that might have gone some other way in financing as opposed to FHA residential, because, you know, a lot of those are mixed use, you know, between farm equipment and my house and so forth. So a small impact to the market overall, I think, on that. Now, FHA did have a proposed rule out there, you know, regarding trying to get some feedback on improving regulation and regulatory review. I haven't seen any action on that, but we do want to watch that to see if FHA truly is going to try and change any of their regulations. As far as house bills, you know, we're still, again, just watching and waiting at this point. Certainly we're going to watch House Bill 1977, which is the safety of FHA mortgage insurance program. Lots of components of this bill about stricter enforcement, a few things affecting multifamily. But, again, and the biggest thing I think that would affect originators in that one would be forcing the secretary to go ahead and take a look at increasing down payment requirements. There's a few studies out there that say, you know, it's all about credit and jobs and down payment is, you know, isn't necessarily the biggest driver for risk or and or for, you know, improving home ownership, depending on which side of the fence you want to listen to on which study. So right now we don't see any big movement on that because, you know, again, FHA is such a key component right now. And then last but not least, you know, I know, Dave, we're going to talk a little bit about this refi program, but there is a proposed rule out there. The Emergency Homeowners Relief Act, this had an application period of August 15th through September 30th. There's information on HUD's website. Again, it's more of a servicing program to help homeowners who are in relief. And, you know, there's lots of those programs out there right now to help homeowners. So we'll see how trying to do more forward refis works with the multiple programs that are already out there. But just a heads up, the Emergency Homeowners Relief Act, this was about $1 billion in money that was set aside under Dodd-Frank, and the application deadline is September 30th. September 15th. So it was just a couple of days. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, September 15th. So just a heads up on that one.
Good. We appreciate you.
Yep.
Go ahead. You had one more?
No, I was just going to say, that's the end of what we're watching at the moment.
Well, I'm looking forward to being with you there again at the MBA and speaking with you. It's always a delight, whether we're on the radio or doing it in person. We really have fun. I wish you guys could be there because Alice is going to be – we'll be talking about this, but just kind of to tease it up for a little bit later discussion. Alice is going to be running around the room with a large ball of string. So try to figure out how – it's like an Andy Schell segment, you know. What does a ball of string the mortgage industry have to do with it? So anyway, it'll be good to have you there. Okay, Alice, thank you so much for bringing us that update.
All right.
And we'll look forward to seeing you here shortly. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
So good to have you back with us again. We're here in Dallas, Texas at the Five Star Default Servicing Conference. And Andy Schell is on the phone here with us, the Profit Doctor. We're going to be skipping because we have so many guests that are going to be coming in and out of the room here where I'm doing the broadcast. I'm sitting at the business center inside this glass. It feels like an aquarium, guys, sitting here doing this broadcast, and people are walking around, what's he doing with headphones and a microphone to his mouth, and these people are coming in and out. So anyway, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. We thank the Five Star event for that. Andy, do you have any idea how you could tie a ball of string? This is you. You're pretty good at solving puzzles. Do you know how Alice is going to tie a ball of string and the mortgage industry together? Do you have any idea there, Profit Doctor?
Well, of course. There's always ways. My favorite is duct tape, wire, and wires.
So
that, I can fix anything. A muffler, a leaky faucet, or a broken window, give me wire, duct tape, and pliers, and you're done.
I didn't know you were a MacGyver type.
Hey, you know, that show came out. They heard about me and thought, wow, let's call it MacGyver. Unlike
wow.
MacGyver, which is really stupid. But
so you're the inspiration behind MacGyver, huh?
The inspiration at best.
Well, we're going to be having a couple of guests roll in here, but I want to talk about some of the things. I appreciate, Andy, you unselfishly giving up your segment so we can talk about some of the stuff that's going on, because there is so many significant developments. One of the ones I want to talk about, and when I want to get to the event that Alice and I are speaking at, the operational conference, but first I want to talk about a significant event. Joe talked about it. Alice talked about it briefly, and that was the Obama's plan to refinance mortgages across the country. I want to get into a discussion on that for our listeners because it piqued the attention, everybody. You can tell by going to the LinkedIn discussion group, Loan Officer, Loan Origination Compensation and New Rules. We've kept that thing open because there's over 3,000 people actively participating, an ongoing dialogue there. And so it's fun to see that, but I did a TV broadcast with Neil Cavuto on this issue, and I put the video clip of that discussion up on that in that discussion group, and we had a lot of – I said, I would like your feedback on this. I mean, I'm going to probably be doing additional broadcasts, Fox broadcasts, Bloomberger, NPR, some of the different CBS, some of these companies or the studios that have us come in and talk to them about this on a national basis. I wanted to get everyone's feedback. I've been really encouraged by the amount of dialogue, the diverse dialogue, and I want to get into that a little bit. So, Joe Farr, I'm going to start off with you and kind of get your reflections. I thought your post, Joe, that you wrote on, which was one of the first posts on that, as a follow-on post to my starting the discussion, was excellent. You want to get into that a little bit?
Well, David, as I said then, and still we don't have the details, and the devil's going to be in the details. The plan can be a refinance plan. It can be a modification plan. Everyone's called it a refinance plan, but as we get into the discussion, it sure might make more sense to be a modification plan if you want to achieve your objectives the most cost-efficient way. But in my discussion, there's a lot to consider in this. One is if it is a way for homeowners to quickly and efficiently reduce their payment, then that's a good thing from an economic perspective, but it's certainly a terrible thing from an investor's perspective. Yeah. And what are the downsides to that? What are the this morning CBO put out an estimate that the consequence to the investors that own the mortgages right now that may be refinanceable is $13 to $15 billion. That's not something that they're going to forget about quickly.
No.
And what are the long-term considerations to in the investor world as to what an unpredictable prepayment stream would be? So, you know, the devil's in the details.
Yeah, so Alice, you had a good comment too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just to make, you know, I don't know if people really think about that the idea that when somebody gets into a mortgage-backed security, they understand that there's going to be some prepayment. They've got, you know, but that's all natural market conditions, you know, certainly unexpected market conditions can be in there, but not something that's an actual conscious, you know, swipe at it, you know, like this would be.
Well, I think you made posted a good comment right after Joe's comment, too. And you think about the operational. I mean, you represent a lot of the operational voices on our audience. Alice, you sit and think about a capacity that this is going to raise is how many people can we really refinance? How's this system? To Joe's point, the devil's in the details. Any thoughts?
Well, right. I mean, how do you, you know, okay, so you have the whole secondary market side, which Joe, everybody needs to read all of Joe's questions and concerns because there are no answers really to any of them. Then you get to the idea of, right?
Thank you.
Thanks for raising questions and there's no answers.
Yeah. Let's give everybody, I know, let's give everybody a car and a kitten too. How about that? Let's just give them all, right? Then they'll all feel good too. All right, except, oh, that's you don't like cats, we'll give you a dog. So, I mean, you can't even get that part right. So the idea from an operational perspective that all of a sudden this enormous group of people are all eligible for 4%, I don't see where this magic number appears other than capacity issue, how we can handle this, or dealing with the loan-to-value. I think that's my biggest the stumbling block I see is, are they going to put a loan-to-value cap in place? Well, that doesn't solve anything then because you've got so many people who are way underwater beneath the 125 because there have already been 7 million standard rate term refis and 1 million streamline refis, according to the letter that Edward DeMarco published on the idea of the expanded HARP. So to Joe's point, they're talking about it being expanded HARP, which is modification. How do you pay a loan officer in all of this if there's no credit documentation on this? I just don't see the capacity on the operations side for us to handle it. The program has a lot of gaps for it to even begin to move forward.
There's no one more familiar with great ideas that are not necessarily thought through than myself. I come up with them, and then I toss them into Andy Schell's lap so he can figure it out. Andy, this is one of those, another one of those, you know, well, it seems like a great idea, but just fraught with all kinds of issues. Do you want to weigh in?
Well, yeah, Dave. I this is one of those places where I probably are going to diverge a little bit from both a little bit of what Joe and Alice are saying and maybe even surprise you in some of my perspective on this because, I like the idea of everybody getting a kitten. I like better the idea of everybody getting $500 a month. And I know it's going to create all kinds of prepayment speed issues for the security holders, but I think that as the first speaker mentioned, our economy is stagnated. It's potentially on the ledge of double dip and maybe even double dip to depression. I think there's some very macro issues that we're going to have to deal with as a country, and some of those things are going to include people having the resources to be able to spend to get things going again, just like George Bush said to do after 9/11. I mean, he got a lot of flack for this from an economic perspective. But after 9/11, in 10 years ago, he said, let's go out and buy stuff. He didn't say it that way, but the bottom line was, let's go buy stuff. And we need to do that again now. We need to have more availability of cash flow and resources for people so they can go out and spend money. And I understand Alice's point. I understand Joe's point. From the details of what this does to the investors or the details of how this actually gets implemented has lots and lots of issues. And so I'm going to jump on your side, Dave, and go, you know what, we're not going to worry about the details. We're going to worry about the big picture. And the big picture is people having money to spend is going to be a good thing. And so from the perspective of we don't want a double-dip recession, we don't want to hit a double-dip into a depression, So I'm actually, I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to be one of those fat tails we talked about in the last couple of weeks where, you know, Washington getting hit with an earthquake and a hurricane in the same week. This is going to be one of those fat tail PSA prepayment speed issues that the investors are going to deal with. The same thing happened, you know, in the early 2000s with the monetization of the ruble. You have governmental activities that sometimes land on financial markets. And when that happens, there's usually a consequence. But in this case, I think we've got a lesser of two evils where we're going to be able to preserve the economy and get it off the ledge of a double dip and off the stagnated position where it is now and move it on into a prosperity. Now, obviously, I just assume it happened after the election. But I do think it needs to happen, and I think we're going to get political support on both sides because everybody wins.
Yeah, Andy, I was going to bring that point up. It, number one, it's pretty easy to do. It doesn't require any congressional action. It requires the agencies changing their refi guidelines. And the benefit is that lots of people will see their monthly payment go down, and whether they use that money to buy things or they just feel more comfortable in being able to pay the bills they currently incur, they're going to appreciate that, and that's got some political reward. So, I think something's going to happen when you got Geithner out telling people it's a good thing. Now you have DeMarco saying we're going to take a real serious look at it. It's just an easy thing to get done. The details are difficult, but from a political perspective and from moving cash around, it's easy to do. Now, I caution that this is easy to do if you're doing it within the guidelines of Fannie and Freddie and maybe even FHA's underwriting guidelines. If you start to try to expand it, like as Dave, you've seen some of the people in the string on that blog have promoted that all loans ought to be subject to this. I kind of draw the line there, and that's not the government's position. That's not something they should do. Forcing anybody to accept principal reductions or forcing somebody to take a loan that they're earning 6% on and say, no, you can only earn 4% on that loan.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they were definitely talking about doing it, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans. The question is whether or not how far they're going to carry that. That's the opening question that Neil Cavuto opened up for that broadcast. So, you know, when you do a TV broadcast, you only have just like, five in and five out, as they say. I mean, you're in and out so quickly. You cannot really have a thorough dialogue on a topic, something as extensive as that, on there. So I got a lot of feedback that said, because I did imply on there that if we're going to do it, we should do it for everybody. But it's basically to draw in the discussion and get the whole thing going. So there's some interesting feedback. Joe, I thought you had some great points. There are some, we could go on and on and on with this topic, but I encourage everyone to head out to the discussion group, the LinkedIn discussion group. It's again, if you're logged into your LinkedIn account and go to the LO Compensation and Oversights, LO Compensation and New Rules dialogue or discussion group. If you're not a part of it, join it. It's open for everyone to join. And then look at the dialogue. It's really got some good dialogue going on. I thank you so much for Joe and Alice and Andy for contributing to that. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get back. I want to talk about the conference Alice and I are going to be speaking at next week, and so we'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
We'll be right back. Media. Now broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome to good to have you back with us. It's convention time. It's conference season. We're kicking it off this week with two conferences. I'm here at the Default Servicing Conference put on by the Five Star Conference. I'm flying this afternoon to New Orleans to be a part of the Mortgage Bankers Association Operational Conference. Then it goes into another conference. And so look forward to seeing, for those of you that are listeners that are going to be there, yes, I'll be there. We're on the program, and we're going to be talking about it. In fact, I want to get into a little bit, and for those of you that cannot make the conference, the operational conference there in New Orleans, I thought Allison and I would get into a discussion and have Andy and it's actually, Alice, this will be real good because those talking points we may have overlooked, Andy and Joe with their questions will draw it out on us.
Sure.
So let's bring it back to the roll of string and you running around the room and at a mortgage conference. Okay, bring it all together for our audience. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, your company as well as our company have done many operational reviews. The difference between the two is, mortgage banking solution really works at that high mortgage merger and acquisition level, the executive level, total global view. And then where MortgageU comes in is kind of that more granular on the, on the street, individual small things that end up making big problems. And, we're really in the actual job descriptions of everybody. So the two companies work really great together in terms of trying to help people look at what is the right loan process for your company and today and where you want to be. So it's kind of the theme of what Dave and I are trying to do and trying to bounce it back and forth, just Joe and Andy and listeners there to kind of get an idea of where we're headed. And so in the topic, what is the right loan process? Boy, you can get some wide differences of opinions. And when I think of all these refis potentially hitting us, we can't handle the refis we have now in a lot of cases. So the string thing, picture it, is moving from the borrower starting, we give the file to an originator, then we give it to a processor at some shops. Sometimes then it has to go out to a setup person, and then it comes back to the processor. Then the processor, of course, kicks it back to the LO because there's stuff missing, or the system kicks it back, right, depending on whether you're manual or automated. Then it goes over to the underwriter. So I think real quickly you can get an idea of how that string tangles everyone up. Start putting in vendors, and it really gets tangled. So
yeah,
it's a visual.
She'll be running around the room handing out this string and say, you hold this, you hold this, you hold that, and it'll be real fun to sit and see how that all comes together. But it'll be good to speak with you on it. Some of the other things we're going to be talking about is just what are the right volume, what are the right metrics. Today, things have changed so dramatically as it relates to how many loans should a processor, an underwriter, or even originator be expected to originate and handle in a quality way? Whose roles and responsibilities? And Alice and I are going to be getting into that. We'd love to get some feedback from you guys out there that are what you're experiencing. So would you email us and let us know? So it's, again, D. Lickin, David, D as in David, Lickin, L-Y-K-K-E-N, at mbs-team.com. If you email me your question, your perspective, I'd love to get it. Also, you can comment on that at the LinkedIn discussion group. One of the things that we wish we could have both Joe and Andy there with us. We just can't afford to fly everybody all around all the time. But, Joe, your perspective on things as it relates to the operational and what changes you're seeing from your customers.
Well, I'm still focused on the last thing we talked about, because operationally it could be huge. And let me ask this. Actually, it's a question of Alice, and I guess I didn't put two and two together, not being familiar enough with the difference between HARP and HAMP and all those various programs. But if HARP is a modification, then an enhancement to HARP you might think is a modification as well. And if so, what does that do to pipelines? What does that do to existing refinances in process? Unless the HARP program or the enhancement, whatever we come up with, is significantly less beneficial than a streamlined refi with an appraisal and an underwriting guideline. So, Alice, is HARP a modification, and what do you think about it if it just is an enhancement to HARP?
Well, yeah. So essentially, HARP was the home affordable refinance program. And, you know, just according to FHA's last numbers or the FHFA's last numbers, it was 838 borrowers refinanced through that HARP program, which was a lot less, obviously, than what they had hoped to. So,
838,000?
838,000 borrowers had refinanced through the HARP program, as of June 30th, according to the September 9th letter from FHFA. So I think what happens is when you get into these programs that are at this level, is it really going to run through your front-end origination? Or are you going to have it go through servicing in that group? I guess their vision is that it would be the front-end origination shop. At least right now, it looks like they're trying to have it come through the front end, which of course is a capacity challenge.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question there's going to be some capacity issues going on here. Again, it comes back to the devil's in the the devil is going to be the details. Who does it? You know, again, we have downsized the size of our industry dramatically, and I think that's some of the concerns that a lot of people have is, am I going to get a slice of this business and this opportunity, and how am I going to handle it? We're already, for those that are involved in refinances, they're already feeling a lot of pain. Andy Schell, you any thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, Dave, I think that if we think a little bit out of the box about this whole refinance opportunity, I'm reminded of a project that I managed when I was with the old Bank of America, the San Francisco-based Bank of America in the mid-90s, and we were seeing a runoff because of rate resets in our portfolio. We had a big, big ARM portfolio. B of A had a $35 billion portfolio of loans that we held ourselves. And so what we did is we went in and we modified these portfolio ARMs by sending, we had a great big warehouse, data warehouse, and we did a lot of data mining. And we went through and did our selection and got our portfolio of customers available that were qualified. And we basically sent them a letter and said, sign this piece of paper, and your rate is now going to go from an ARM to be an 8% fixed rate loan. Send it back in, and you're all set. And we coordinated with Fannie Mae for the transition. So we set up a separate room with a bunch of people in it. I mean, literally, it was like a whole floor, but because we had, you know, $35 billion in customers.
Wow.
But anyway, we set this whole thing up, and we didn't run it through the normal process. We set up a modified process, a separate process, and we did it on a where the best way to do something was the way that we did it. There was no sacred cows. Everybody got to contribute to figure it out. So it wasn't, we didn't have the governmental hassles of HIMP and HARP and all the ways people have to do stuff. We did it the best way we could, and we got it done quickly and got a lot of loans modified in a very, very expeditious process where people just signed one piece of paper, sent it back, and done. Now, I know that from the security holder perspective and from the regulatory perspective, there's all kinds of reasons why that won't work. But I would start by saying, well, why? Let's think about a way. How can we get this done and do it in a way that gets the customer the lower payment, gets the cash flow flowing, the payment reduced, and maybe we don't run it through the normal process. Maybe we come up with a brand-new process to do it.
Yeah, it's Joe?
I agree that that's, that makes all kinds of sense. It sure doesn't sound good for the mortgage industry.
I knew you were going there. That's what I was saying. You got a lot of customers.
Well, I hate to seem selfish in that, but there are some pretty dramatic consequences that unless the benefit is not reduced to the current market, you know, and because there's got to be a reason for someone to come to a mortgage company to get their loan refinanced as opposed to having their servicer modify it, and we know that coming to the loan origination industry means that they got to be underwritten. They got to have an appraisal. There's costs associated with that, and to do the modification at too rich a level is going to essentially remove all the current pipeline from wanting to refinance instead of modify.
Yeah.
And there'll be no more to refinance down the road. So that would be a quick and easy way to get the overall objective here, the political objective and the economic objective, you know, getting more people, more money in the hands of the individual, but it sure is not going to be good for mortgage banking.
Alice, did you hear that? He slipped up a little bit there. He said it's good for the political objective. Alice, did you hear that? I heard that in there, and I think that represents the conflict for a lot of people. A lot of people are saying, is this as much a political or an economic stimulus. And I think it's, I mean, my cynical nature, as I said there on the broadcast with Cavuto, I said my cynical nature is thinking this is as much a bailout for his campaign reelection bid as it is anything else. But I was really negative on it when I first heard about it. I mean, you should see my talking points. I shut up to Fox and they go, Neil's actually kind of for this. He sees some benefits in it. I go, well, he's a smart guy. Let me go back and look at this. So I went online and did a lot of research, and it really draws everybody back to this discussion. Yes, there's a potential political value that's going to come to Obama out of this thing for proposing it. Yes, no question. I think, my personal opinion, I think he's had enough problems. I don't think he refinanced everyone down to 2%. It's not going to help his reelection bid. Personally, that's just a personal opinion on there, not the opinion of our sponsors, I might add. But
right.
But I really do believe that it's a situation where this does add some economic value. But, man, the devil's in the details. It'll be really interesting to really sort that out. So, anyway.
Oh, it is. Well, how do you – if you change it to 4%, then how do you – and somebody's on a 25-year term, right? They now have five years into their loan and move them down to 4%. Was that a financial benefit to them in the long run just to get the monthly payment? I don't know. I'm not buying that consumers will react exactly as we expect them to, because there have been lots of programs out there where there were prediction made about what consumers will do with the money that they save. And then it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And then you look at, you know, states like your state, Alice, Detroit specifically, the whole state of Michigan, which is double-digit unemployment. And I don't care if you took the interest rates to zero. If you don't have the income, you can't even afford to make a principal-only payment. So
even though FEMA was reporting that, you know, our values have started to stabilize and go up, I mean, even in the Detroit MSA, it's not – people are still severely underwater. So it would have to be a program without an LTV cap. Otherwise, you're not going to get the same numbers that they're hoping for.
And Alice, without any reps and warranties from the originator.
Right.
Because
yeah, right.
who's going to give them reps and warranties when they know they're making a loan that's 40% loss if it comes back?
It's interesting to me that the group is trying to standardize how all those security agreements would be to help make it so that buybacks, or at least those the writing in the buybacks, is all somewhat consistent. Now you throw this in the mix,
it's a big, big issue, and we need to move on to the next topic here. But the reality is we would like to hear from you, our listeners. I want to hear from you, each of us, Alice and I and Andy and Joe, for those of you, whichever one you know the best, or email us. Please tell us what your thoughts are. We would like to continue this discussion. We'd like to bring it up. What's really interesting, listeners, is we do have people inside the Beltway that are policy setters that are listening to this broadcast. Your thoughts being discussed on this broadcast is going into the ears of the regulators that are making some decisions. So we want to hear from you absolutely without question. I'd like to get out and if our producer can turn on Andy, Drew, Alvy can turn on Tony Garitano's mic. I'd like to talk to Tony. Are you out there, Tony?
I'm here, Dave. How are you?
Oh, good. Good to have you be with us. Appreciate this. We're working a lot of technology here today, Tony, and it's for Andy Schell, he deals with switchboards all the time. This is no big deal. For me, I've got a microphone, a headphone set, and some other equipment I don't normally use, so we'll have to get his take on that. But I want to ask you a question. There's been I've heard a new initial that I have not heard before, and it's AUD. I know what an AUS is, but what is an AUD?
It's actually UAD, Dave. It's the uniform.
Did I tell you that I was dyslexic? There's evidence right there. AUD. I was looking right at. Okay, what is an AUD?
UAD is a basic data requirement from the GSEs that appraisals be delivered in XML data format using MISMO standards, and they did add new fields to the appraisal form that they want the appraiser to fill out. The deadline. Yeah,
the deadline.
Another acronym for you to remember.
Exactly right. For my dyslexic brain to lock onto. Alice, I think you talked a little bit about this at one point in time here recently.
Yeah, we did. I've been doing some presentations on it, and a few more still to go. Yeah, it's a big impact. But go ahead, Tony.
Okay, yeah, Tony, how do you prepare for it? And I'd like to get Alice's feedback on it. We've got about 6 minutes before, actually about 4 minutes before we have to go to the music here. So, Tony, how does someone prepare for it? And then Alice, would you opine?
Well, I think that's the confusion, Dave. I think people are not sure who's the burden needs to be on. Some people say the lenders. Some people say the appraisers, the AMCs, the vendors. But the bottom line is the buck is going to stop with the lender. They're the ones that are going to get fined. They're the ones that are going to get their appraisal rejected ultimately once it becomes mandatory. So they need to work with their vendors and either have their vendors incorporate technology that's going to convert the appraisal into a compliant XML form that the GSEs will accept, or they need to mandate that their AMCs and that their appraisers do it and have technology to check their work.
Alice?
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we've seen so far is that the first appraisals are just trickling in, and there are definitely some inconsistencies with, you know, appraisers who have the ability to mix data. So we're still in a phase of at least getting the reports right. We have until December 1st for applications effective December 1st, those actual loans will be the one that have to be delivered. So go to Fannie Mae's website and look at their timetable to make sure you're on track for implementation is my recommendation.
Good. Tony, real fast, what can you expect from your vendors? What should our listeners anticipate?
I think they should expect some confusion. I heard from one vendor this morning.
Are you more of that?
I heard from one vendor this morning, Dave, that actually checks the XML files, and they said that there were, to Alice's point, inconsistencies in a lot of the appraisals that were either delivered from their vendor or converted from their vendor. So work with your vendor to make sure that they're doing things right and double-check everything that your appraisers, that your AMCs are sending you. And ultimately double-check those appraisals before you send them along to the GSEs. As Alice said, you have until December to get it right, but you know, now's the time to start working on it.
I think you bring a real good perspective, Tony, is, you know, a lot of people say it's ultimately on the lender's part, which is Alice is saying all along, but the reality is you've got to work with your vendors. If you're depending on a vendor, you got to get in it. But take the responsibility, be proactive, and get into it. Thank you so much, Tony, for being a part of it. This is Tony Garitano, who has just been with us. It's, by the way, Tony, you got hit with what Andy was talking about, the double whammy of both an earthquake and also the Irene. So did you recover? We missed you on a broadcast because you were underwater.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that technology did not save me, Dave, because I had no power, no water. It was horrible. It was just really bad.
So sorry to hear that. Technology can do a lot of things, but no, when the river rises, there's just not a lot you can do. Tony, so good to have you be with us. Appreciate it so much. Have a great week, and look forward to having you back next week, Tony.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, everybody. We are, remember, Alice and I are speaking at the MBA Operational Conference in New Orleans tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Join us if you're listening to the broadcast and you're there. Otherwise, we'll tell you more how Alice running around the room with a string. We'll tell you how that all went. But I'm looking forward to doing that conference. And then be sure to email us your feedback on what your thoughts are regarding Obama's refinance plan. And we really want to hear it because, Joe, I apologize for cutting that dialogue short. We could go on and on and on. I think we really need to discuss it, especially knowing that we have some of the folks within the Beltway that do listen to this broadcast. So, anyway, it's been good to bring this with you, each of you tuning in each week. We appreciate that. And we thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Andy, I hope you have a great week out there down there in Austin. I'll be missing you. I'll see you later on the week. Joe, along with you. Keep it cool, Joe.
Yeah,
and Alice, I look forward to be seeing you in the Nolan, as they say. Forward to being
all
there.
Right.
With everyone,
safe
have
travel.
A great. Yes, Dave, thank you so much. Everyone, have a great week. Look forward to talking to you again on the program next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending.
a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.